It's a place of privilege. It's a place of safety, I believe. And it's, I think this mentoring model is, I see you, I'm here to help.
This is called Building Up Marriages in Others. Okay, building up marriages in others. And we're shifting the focus a little bit with this talk. We want to talk about how do we encourage and how do we help others. As you heard in the first main session, the importance of the church family, the importance of thinking about this, that we are in this together, is a critical piece. And so an aspect of that then becomes, okay, how do we actually engage that? What does that look like? In some, hopefully, some real and practical ways. And it's also, I think we will have a fairly open discussion here as we talk through some of these things too. We definitely like the smaller setting and want to allow for that. So 3 points that we will talk through briefly. We'll talk through the need to be thinking about how do I encourage others as couples, the opportunity, and then just a few of the resources, a few tools. We'll walk through some different things that are available to help if you find yourself in a position where you are helping or encouraging others. Let me start by just talking through this, and then I'll hand it off to Tim. The need for relationships. Romans says fairly clearly, he says, we are members one of another, members one of another. It's a very important and high standing. Society speaks to the idea of individualization. I am my own person. I am self-sufficient. You know, and we want to create these little pockets where we can exist in our own little world if we are not careful. I saw an interesting graph the other day where it talked, it was talking about technology and the impact that technology has upon us. And you think about that. I remember when I started college, which was a little bit ago, and you would walk to class. And there was no one had things like iPhones or headbuds or anything like that, right? You were walking and you were looking around and sometimes you recognize people, right? Because it's kind of the same patterns of classes over the semesters, right? You know, and you would actually maybe nod or acknowledge or make eye contact or something like that, right? And now I went back to grad classes, about 10 years after my undergrad, and I was amazed, right? I walked around campus and it was all like earbuds in, zoned out look, like no contact with the other person, right? We are creating these little pockets of individualization, right? And they had this rectangle filled with these little circles in it, right? Where every circle represents us in our iPhone, iPod, kind of own little world. Stay here, don't infect with other people, right? Versus a wide open space where it's a shared community, shared learning. And I think that is one of the hearts of a day like this, where we're trying to create a shared learning space within the Apostolic Church to speak about marriages. But we don't want it to stay here. We want it to go back into your local churches and think about it in that space. So when you think about relationships, we have a lot of people in our community sphere within our relationship. This is a small town of Gridley. You walk down the street, you pretty much know most people, right? You kind of nod, you give the farmer wave, you know, that kind of thing, right? This is a community. I know them. I know a little bit about them. But it's a very different level to then where you start to kind of distinguish, okay, there's some people that are companions. If I have a choice, I'm going to spend time with them. They are my companions. And then there's another level where maybe there's a deeper group within that I keep myself accountable to. I start to open up more and more. This is who I am. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm going through. And at the very high level, you might have that mentor-type relationship where it is a very in-depth and deep relationship. What we see is that as intentionality and trust increase, relationships will progress in depth. As intentionality and trust increase, relationships progress in depth. This doesn't happen automatically. This pretty much does. This takes intentionality. And then it takes time and trust. So kind of a background as we kind of think through just relationships in general. Now let's bring that into the sphere of marriages and what that looks like. And Tim, why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit through this piece here?
I guess before we even go into this slide, one thing I might ask is, what do you think marriage mentoring looks like? What is mentoring look like to you? Any thoughts? Yes.
I think it's I tend to think of those who are more experienced in marriage.
Okay.
And kind of maybe are on the other side where their kids are raised and they're coming along, younger couples, and listening and sharing their experiences and mistakes that they've made with younger families.
Okay. Okay. What else? Any other thoughts when you think about marriage mentoring?
Just having open dialogue with all different levels of folks who are married.
Yeah. Hey, how many of you in the room have had mentors in your life? Have some of them been unintentional or maybe they didn't even know they were your mentors? I've had that as well. And I've had some where when I went into the eldership, Ron has been a mentor to me in many ways. And so things like that. I mean, you walk through life and some things. What is special? So when we think about marriage mentoring, first, what do you think about when you think about marriage mentoring? Would you think of it as a privilege? The reason I ask you that is because it's one of the things that when young couples go through our premarital counseling, I ask them to reach out and get a mentor in the church, and they don't know where to go. It's difficult for them. They don't know how to reach out to them. They don't know how to make the connection sometimes. They don't know who they could talk to. They're a little intimidated by being asked to do that. And yet, I also, when the older folks, when I talk to them, they go, "Oh, I'm not talented. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that." Well, I guess I would ask you, as we go through here, I really do believe it's a privilege to look into somebody's life, for somebody just to talk with you about it and about their life. I think the other thing is that you'll find that mentors do not have to have all the answers. What do you think mentors are good to do? What do you think, if you think of answers, what would be the other side of answers? Questions, yeah. I think it's a great opportunity to ask questions that maybe mom and dad can't ask, or maybe they can ask, whoever you're mentoring can ask you, or if you are looking and asking for a mentor, that you can ask that mentor questions. So, yeah. So here, some marriages expose and reflect our health in many ways. How many believe that? Yeah. How can all, basically, we can all use help processing this exposure. What do you think it's like to be vulnerable with somebody? To really get into some of the nitty-gritty pieces of life. Because as you look at that pyramid that Arlen went through, that mentorship, you're getting towards the inner core, aren't you? And you're going to probably hear some things that are hard to hear. And you're going to probably share some things, if you're the mentee, that's going to be hard to share. Part of it is because we live in a broken world. And things get broken and need help. This help doesn't have to be profound, but simply Spirit-filled. And that's with love, grace, mercy. There's a lot of that involved here, and I just encourage you to think of it that way. How many of you have just, when you've gone through something in life, you've gone through a different point, and you've heard somebody say, "I'm going to be there for you," or "I'll be with you all the way"? You ever heard that? What's that do to you when you feel that somebody says, "I'm going to be there with you all the way"? Does it comfort you? Puts a warm spot in your heart? It's safe, right? And you know what? As mentors, sometimes we're just holding their hand. And sometimes as a mentee, we just want a hand to hold. We just want, as a man, there's times that Deb does not understand certain things that I have to talk to another guy about and ask their opinion, because they have a different opinion. They have a different perspective on it. It's a place of privilege. It's a place of safety, I believe. And it's, I think this mentoring model is, I see you, I'm here to help, I hear you. And when we think of, one of the things we talked about is, what are some of the skills of mentoring? And one of it was listening, just listening. That was a big one that came out. Quick question for you. Anyone care to learn? Some of you that have been through marriage a little while, anybody want to share a number one lesson learned in marriage? Yeah.
Communication.
It's interesting. That came up one of the first ones the last time, too. So, yeah.
Your spiritual life is very connected to your relationship.
Yeah. Your spiritual life is very connected to your relationship. I just share a little bit. I probably ought to have Deb share this, but we were struggling in marriage, and it was interesting. Deb was trying to figure me out, and I was trying to figure her out, and she kept trying to change me. She's done some of that. She really has, but she kept trying to change me, and eventually she just started getting closer to the Lord, and I watched her walk with the Lord. And I then looked at that, and I know that's not the way it's supposed to be. Husbands, you're supposed to be leading your wives into spiritual leadership, but I saw Deb's walk, and then I started walking closer with the Lord. And that spiritual connection is really important. Yeah. What is our number one lesson learned? Communication. Spiritual connection. Any other thoughts?
My understanding is that it's a journey that we're on forever. It's not about achieving a certain level or getting to a certain place. It's a continual.
Exactly. Yeah. It is a walk. It's a journey. Yep. I don't think you'll ever get to the point where you achieve the perfect marriage. So one thing is as we think of us as a mentor and we're looking for mentoring, honestly, we aren't looking for perfect people. We think of it as just somebody to walk with, and I think we talked about a lot of these things. Spend time together, model life together. Just, I think, Brad, you talked about the journey. Ask questions. Push towards skills, and it's really communication, listening, those types of skills. One of the things that a mentor brings, and sometimes we forget that, but you have connections that the mentee may not have, and that you can bring those people in or that resource in or that help in at times where where somebody that's maybe first married or early married, they don't know where to go for that. If you're a mentee and you're looking for that, your mentor will have those types of connections, more connections and experience of where to go for some of those helps. And then the other thing is think about, as we're thinking about mentoring, people go, well, when my marriage is in trouble, that's when I need mentoring. What do you think of that? Is that good advice? And I tell everybody that. No, it's not good advice. It's mentoring now when things are going good, that's when it's good to walk alongside somebody else for a while and keep walking with them and watching their example. Preventative maintenance, key. Arlen, do you want to discuss this one?
I want you to go back real quick, though, and just think about that advice, right? The number one marriage advice that you could think of. And we could have asked you all to write something down, right? What is something that's been passed on to you? What is something that you have learned? Number one marriage advice, right? Can you communicate that to someone else? Can you encourage someone to communicate better, to walk as a journey together, to work on your spiritual life together, right? Sometimes I think we can get into this model that we think we have to be an expert, right? We have to read 15 books and we have to be trained in this and be a licensed, you know, whatever, to really offer marital advice. And the reality is when you look through some of these things that were on that last slide there, ask questions, spend time together, journey through life together, those type of things is something all of us can do. It becomes more of a question of opportunity and time, which is a huge deal. I don't want to negate that. That's a huge deal where you invest time in someone else, right? Because that's taken away from something else in our busy lives. But it becomes more of a question of opportunity and time than it does become about, you know, perfect knowledge and having that perfect marriage. We learn as we, you know, what's Corinthians says? God comforts us so that we can comfort others. I think it's that same principle, right? Where we learn through the school of the Savior, right? So that we can encourage others as well. One quick model. I want to just share one model with you, and then we'll kind of get towards the close here. You've maybe seen this before. This is one lens to view marriage, okay? Three-sided triangle. One side of the triangle is about the commitment piece of marriage, right? The agape love, the Christ-like self-sacrificial love, commitment side. On the other side, there on the left-hand side, it's about the emotional intimacy, the friendship model, the fact that you and your spouse are friends with each other. And then on the right-hand side, you have the passionate side or the romantic sexual love side there, where it's about the passion piece of marriage. So passion, friendship or emotional intimacy, and then commitment. And they would say, and I think there's a lot of health to think about it this way, that a healthy marriage is when this is balanced, right? And we could draw different diagrams where maybe it's all about commitment, but there's no emotional intimacy. Or it's all about friendship, but there is no passion. Or it's all about passion, but there's no friendship or commitment, right? And different marriages at different stages of our life, we kind of ebb and flow with that triangle. Now, let me ask you this. In the typical, this is a generalization. I want to be very clear about this. This is a generalization. But in the typical apostolic Christian marriage, which side of the triangle do you think is strongest? And which side of this triangle do you think is weakest? In a typical.
I think the strongest would be the commitment.
Mm-hmm. What's the weakest?
Probably the emotional.
Mm-hmm. The emotional intimacy. Right? I mean, it's a generalization, but often when we talk with others or when we work with others, we will usually find a fairly strong commitment. There is a strong level of commitment within the church and just in general in a Christian marriage to stay together. There is a great opportunity to grow, though, in that emotional intimacy side, the friendship side. And so, you know, it helps me with that model just think through when I am when I'm talking to a couple or I'm talking to someone, I you know, there's kind of questions in my head. You know, I'm thinking, okay, are they committed? Is this a commitment question? Is this a passion question or a romantic question, right? Or is this an emotional intimacy question? And some of the answers to the questions that you ask can kind of give light to maybe which side of the triangle we could encourage. Is there a way that you can, you know, if you have an opportunity to work with a couple or ask a couple or meet with a couple, is there a way that you can build up emotional intimacy with them? Is there a way that you can just do fun things together, right? Go out together to eat and just ask fun questions about who they are and what drew them to each other and what do they like doing together and that kind of a thing. It's a powerful way to very simply and yet succinctly keep building up and encouraging marriages. A couple of things I just want to share with you. And then I really want an open discussion. Tim, we can come on up here. We just kind of have open discussion here. A couple websites that we have available. If you go to acconson.org/marriage-mentoring, there's a few resources specifically for marriage mentoring. They're going to be in the form of like questions. Questions to maybe talk through, some of those questions that you can ask and then listen, right? Or if you go to marital enrichment, keyword marital enrichment, you'll find a lot of other resources that are good, frankly, for every single one of our marriages. Again, questions, things to think about, that kind of a thing. But then they're also good by extension to maybe walk through with someone else, you know, another marriage. One of the resources you'll find there is what we call our discussion aids, our marriage discussion aids. And they're just a short little one-page resource with a couple scriptures and then a few questions. And they talk about different themes of marriage, communication, conflict, so on and so forth. How do you walk through them, right? I mean, could you sit down with a couple and say, you know, we're going to get together for dinner once a month for the next 6 months? Maybe that's too much of a commitment. Maybe it's every other month, right? But we're going to get together, and we're just going to talk through a couple things. Just ask a couple questions. And if they're willing, if they're learners, there's even more intense. We have a Bible study that the agency has developed, Keys to Healthy Marriage. It actually gets into 10 topics of marriage. It has teaching text. It has questions. It has take-home activities. Again, all with the idea of giving individuals resources, tools, talking points, opportunities to help others. And there's many other things, too. This is an ACCFS conference, so of course we're going to talk about ACCFS resources. But there's many other things out there, too, right? There's great organizations, there's great groups, there's other ways out there, too, to help. I think I want to say yet before we open it up, though, I think the important thing to consider, though, is there's a little bit of that first slide we showed with that triangle, right? There becomes a little bit of an intentionality shift where we go back to our churches. And we say, I'm going to seek to enter with this mindset that I am going to hear. You know, what's the three things? I see you, I hear you, I'm here for you. If I can go in with those mindsets, if I can go in with that opportunity, God will bring people in line. He will open up doors. He will open up opportunities for people to interact with others. And that is the opportunity that we have to build, strengthen, encourage, nurture the marriages within our church. What a great opportunity. So that being said, what do you think of marriage mentoring? Is it a possibility? Is it something you've seen? And frankly, are there things you've learned that you can share with the rest of this group here that we can go back into our local churches and be purposeful in this?
Sometimes it's intimidating, like you said, mm-hmm. go and ask someone to be your mentor. Mm-hmm. I know, like, sometimes it always a sign. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the best process in doing that? Like, mm-hmm. sometimes it just happens organically.
Right.
Right when that happens.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For those couples that are struggling, that's what I
like. Yeah. Go ahead, Tim. Well, yeah, you're the elder.
So we have, with our children, we have encouraged it strongly. And part of it is because we sent them through the ACCFS premarital counseling there, and it they encourage it there. And so I just went and saw our oldest son. I went and asked his mentor, and I said, so how did it go? I said, they reached out to them. So the younger couple reached out to the older couple. But I asked the older brother, he said, when I was first asked, he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I was a bit lost and I didn't quite, he says, but I started figuring it out and I didn't know what to tell him to do. But he said, basically, we just started being there for him. And then we would talk with them and go out to dinner, and they start to ask questions, and they start to they build a relationship and a safety, and it's that relationship, the rapport, the safety there, and then they can ask questions that, honestly, I'm thankful for the mentors in my children's lives because of that, and but yeah, it's. You know what, we tried it in Peoria, where we tried to assign mentors to people for a while, and it doesn't always work. I know some areas it has, but there has to be kind of a click, and it's something that you, as a younger couple, if you're looking for a mentor, it's somebody that you need to have some respect for, and something that you see in them that would be helpful for you. So, yeah.
I'd say probably the word mentor is kind of a new term, maybe. And John and I both looked at each other when you brought this up, and we didn't really think of the word mentor, but we had a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more of a connection. Edwin Baylor Sr. from Remington Church, we were just really, really connected.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his family, and it was more of a connection and a relationship. But the word mentor probably
can be intimidating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing, one thing with that, just quickly, I think I think our church in the past, a lot of us, we were in agrarian areas. We grew up in smaller communities. The community kind of mentored us. I mean, we saw that, and people connected often throughout the week. at least in Peoria, people come together on a Wednesday night and on a Sunday, and they have to be intentional about it. For some reason, it's like Arlen was talking about, we all have our individuality pockets anymore. We're with the technology and all. And I think we have to be more intentional about how we do that. Maybe mentoring is not the best word to use, but it's helped get the idea across.
One thing I want to say back to Sarah's question there. I think if you feel moved that this is an area that you can help, I think it would be appropriate to go back to your elder, first speaking, to say, you know, we really would like to help people. If ever an opportunity would come up, you know, just think of us. We're willing, if you think it's appropriate, to help people. The other thing, though, too, you're absolutely right. It works best. Everything we've done with mentoring, at least what I have seen, is it works best when it's a natural, organic type build. So it could be a piece that if you're feeling stirred to do this, you know, prayerfully think about it and just think, you know, I wonder how they're doing. You know, think about your church family. I wonder how they're doing. And maybe just the next Sunday, purpose to try to have lunch with them and just kind of ask some questions. Or maybe that happens a couple times, right? And let the Spirit then kind of come into that. And maybe that will emerge into something more deep, or maybe it won't. Or maybe he'll stir you somewhere else there too. But I really I have a hard time believing that if you go before the Father and say, I'm a willing servant to serve in this area, that he is not going to, within the church family, find opportunity for you to serve. And it's going to be powerful. Great thoughts, great questions. Others?
I just have a comment. Yeah. Mentoring, I think it was started with a privilege. I think with our children, it's a responsibility, and that we should, with every effort, to just, if it's natural or it isn't natural, that we mentor our children in marriage or in all of life. I think everybody knows that, but to me, that's just a natural connection.
Mm-hmm. Mentoring our children and being active in that. Any other thoughts? Yeah, Russ.
With us as the younger generation, I heard a quote once, that if you tell me who your heroes are as an older gentleman, mm-hmm. I said, tell me who your heroes are for these individuals, I can tell you how successful they'll be in that area. And so my thought is, for myself, is identifying who my heroes or mentors are, and then identifying how they handle situations, those that you hold in high regard. And so just identifying who those are for me, and taking the time to do that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, just like you say, the communities mentor us, but to be intentional about identifying how I want to be, you know, what we should
right. be living. Right. I appreciate that, Russ. The idea of being intentional and thinking about how you want to be and just kind of who your heroes are in that area, it is so true, because we model our behavior after other people. We really do. There's no way around that. We learn to do what we do because of what we've seen in others and how we model that. We are not the individualistic people that often we like to think we are. And so surround yourself, right? What's Proverbs say? A companion of the wise will be wise. A companion of fools will be foolish, right? Surround yourself. Identify those people that you want to be like and do that. If we can encourage and equip the body to be motivated to offer help, hope, and growth to others organically through the local body of Christ, that's what the Scripture calls us to. And so of all the topics here today, this is the one that I'm most passionate about, because this is where I see the most help, hope, and growth going back out into the church as a whole. If we can be engaged and prayerfully offer ourselves to the Spirit and say, use me as you would. And healthy marriages lead to healthy church, leads to healthy mission.